Welcome to the Recruitment Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Tom Birkinshaw, and today's guest is Grant Cavaney, CEO of property recruitment firm GKR. Grant started out his career in South Africa. He saw an opportunity in the UK to set up a bespoke property recruitment firm and hasn't looked back. Since then, Grant has managed to scale his business to nearly 20 heads and recruits globally for many leading property firms. I talked to Grant about how he launched his business and what is involved in scaling his business to become a leading international property recruitment firm. Grant, thanks very much for joining me today. CEO of GKR London. How are you?
I'm great, thank you very much, and absolute pleasure to be here with you.
Great, appreciate it. So let's talk about GKR. You set up GKR in what year?
Set up GKR in 2010.
2010, 12 years old now.
Yeah.
Your background then, obviously originally from South Africa.
You wouldn't say, yeah?
No, you can't tell by the accent. What career path did you take initially? Was there anything else before recruitment, or was it straight into recruitment?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I think a lot of people ask me, you know, why did you choose recruitment? I'm not going to lie. I don't think anybody in the classroom, when they asked as kids, do they want to be a recruiter? These people putting their hands up, that's not going to happen. I think my dream was always to be in the military. My dad was in the military, my grandfather as well. And I took a different path, went into university and got into recruitment. I fell into the sector. So that was something that, you know, right place, right time. I'm very much a people person. I enjoy working with people, enjoy the chase of the win. And that is why I ended up getting into recruitment.
Was that out in South Africa?
That was in South Africa. Yeah. So I was blessed to have the opportunity. When I was leaving uni, I was approached by a British recruitment company that was opening an office in Cape Town. And obviously at the time, that was unbelievable for me to get UK exposure to work in a business which is a people-based business. Never really looked back.
How long were you there for?
I was in that business for 5 years. I worked my way through the ranks over that period from trainee consultant up to director level. Very successful period and thoroughly enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed building a team. Yeah. Ended up building a team there of about 10, 12 people, which was, I guess, my first experience in man management, which helped me a lot.
Was that in property or a different sector?
It was in property. It was in property. Hence the property connection now, but I fell into real estate recruitment again. People ask me why property recruitment. It almost chose me, to be honest.
Yeah. So you were there for 5 years. At what point did you kind of think to yourself, I want to go it alone? Did you kind of hit that 5 year period and go, I'm going to look for a different company? You know, what was that motivation to kind of step aside and be like, I'm going to do this thing differently now?
I don't think I was necessarily born an entrepreneur. I enjoy leadership. I enjoy building teams. There was a few circumstances that happened in 2010 where my previous company went in a different direction and I went in a different direction, and I had opportunities and was talking to a lot of my competitors in the London marketplace. But I came to London in August 2010 and I met with a few of my friends. Those friends happened to be clients of mine at the time, and they were the ones that gave me the encouragement to start my own business. You know, I knew I had their backing. I knew that they had my back, and you know, they told me that they used to deal with me. You know, they never dealt with my previous company. It was the relationship that I bonded with them. So their trust in me gave me the commitment to go, you know what, let me give this a go. And the journey began right then and there.
So you say you didn't think you see yourself as sort of like a natural leader or entrepreneur back then, and this kind of fell into it, and you had a couple of friends who were going to support you client-wise. Yeah. Did you have any external mentors to go, this is how you set a company, this is what you do day one, this is step one, this was the process?
Not really. I mean, I mean, from a business perspective in recruitment, no. What happened was, when I started my own business in 2010, I moved to the UK. And my entire connection in recruitment was all in South Africa. So I left all my connections behind. I moved to London and made the decision that the only way I was going to build a British recruitment company was to come to the UK.
Yeah.
And I needed to meet people, be on the front line every day.
Yep.
That was a big move for me. You know, my dad's a big mentor in my life, you know, my mother as well. I've got a close-knit family who I was able to rely on. And I think, there were friends and people like that who I could rely on, but I did a lot of it on my own, to be honest.
So did you go in with a kind of a business plan? I'm not saying you winged it, but was it more business plan structured, or was it more go by the wind and see how it goes?
No, I winged it. I absolutely winged it. It was get the first deal over the line and try and survive, do the second deal, do the third deal. And, you know, I made about 4 or 5 placements in my first month, and got back into the swing of things, because I took out about 3 months between leaving my previous company and starting GKR. It happened to be the Football World Cup in South Africa in 2010.
Yeah.
So it was unbelievable. I was following the English team and the Dutch team throughout South Africa. I almost felt like I lost my mojo a little bit in recruitment. Mm. I needed that first deal. Once I got that, the confidence was there, and
yeah,
it was the next one and the next one.
So in the early stages of GKR, what were the first 2 years like for you? Were they kind of as you expected with the market at that time?
It was good. I think we were coming out of a bit of a recession that happened in 2008. Yeah. There was a big financial crisis. I think I started my business just as the new shoots of life were starting to come out into the marketplace. It was right place, right time in that sense. It was challenging. It was tough, having had a team of 12 people, you know, reporting into me, for 5 years prior. You know, for the next, you know, the next 2 to 3 years, it was just me working for myself, managing myself. You know, there's only so many times you can celebrate a deal on yourself, with yourself.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit challenging from that perspective. I'm a team player, so you know, I love sport. I'm competitive, and it was a challenge.
So at what point then, like you said, you know, obviously building up the liabilities on yourself, and you're building up a business, you're working with more clients, your HR, your IT, your process, operations, marketing, you were, you know, building a brand at the same time. When did you think it was right for that first hire, and kind of what was your thinking to go, right, now's the time to get somebody on board with me? And who was that?
It was a trip to South Africa that kind of, it was when the penny kind of dropped. I went to South Africa and I met a few friends, and they were like, how's your business? You know, how many people are you now? You must be 20, 25 people. Because these guys were seeing me on LinkedIn. You know, I was very proud of what I was doing on LinkedIn and making lots of noise, probably making more noise than a 10-man company would do, because I was really getting involved in the social media side. And I almost realized that I was almost conning myself to a certain degree there. It was just me.
Yeah.
I was almost a little bit embarrassed by that. And I questioned myself as to why I hadn't grown the business. And there were many reasons why I hadn't hired people. You know, the threat of losing business, the fear of letting go. There was various things that I think some entrepreneurs battle with. And basically my kind of journey of growing the business and hiring more people started by when I met James Conn and met Ari. That was when the growth phase really started.
So what year did you meet James?
Met James in 2014. So, I mean, my journey with James is direct and indirect to a certain degree. I used to recruit for Hamilton Bradshaw Real Estate. So James obviously invests into real estate businesses as well as recruitment businesses. Yep. And that's how he kind of came on my radar. Ended up meeting James in 2014 when the group that I'm now, you know, very happily part of, started to invest in, you know, small businesses, startup recruitment businesses, with the plan of scaling them. And I think it was my first meeting with James, which led me to realize that I was selling myself short. You know, I had a very good market niche. I was a specialist in my sector, and there was scalability, and I was so stuck in my ways that you have tunnel vision. You kind of you get stuck in a bit of a rut, really. And it was a meeting with James which kind of gave me the courage to go, I got this.
And I think that's a good point. I think when you're building a business, and you know, we come up against this time and time again, is, you know, you are ops, marketing, your HR, you're doing everything, and it suddenly it's like, right, you need to build a team, you know, and obviously that's the first step. Then you've got the concerns of how that market's going to go. You know, I think the statistic is at the minute it's 73% of businesses don't grow above, recruitment businesses don't grow above 10 heads.
Yep.
So doing that, and you know, going back to the point of having a mentor earlier and having friends and family, and so I guess meeting James was that kind of, not fallback per se, but having somebody who's done it time and time again to get that coaching and mentoring. If you've made a decision, it's always nice to have that kind of certified by somebody who's done it before. You built your business up 3 years all by yourself, you know, blood, sweat and tears, stress and anguish and everything else.
Grey hairs.
At least you've got hair. Obviously, all that passion was within you. When you spoke to James and he started talking about your niche market, what you do and the future planning of where GKR could go, I mean, he's kind of selling that future of scalability, but at the cost of obviously having an investor. How was that first kind of conversation? As you can imagine, you know, you put you know, a lot of thought, time and effort into this, and somebody going, yeah, we can help you, but we'll take part of your business away.
Yeah.
What was that first initial meeting like and the thought process afterwards?
Firstly, it was eye-opening because I was pretty naive in the way, you know, I thought I was a business owner. You know, I genuinely thought I'm running GKR, it's me, myself, and I for 4 years. Meet James, and he's asking me questions which kind of blew me away. And I was like, well, I've never thought about this. And it was then when I quickly realized that things needed to change in my future and what I was looking to do. And we spent a lot of time together putting together 60, 90 day plans, working out what the market's doing, what do my competitors do. And we just realized that the opportunity was endless. You know, I was always a residential specialist, but the real estate market is so multifaceted. And the plan was over a five, six year period to grow that, you know, into international work, into different sectors. And we've done that, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't simple. It wasn't easy.
And I think James is, one of his quotes is kind of, you don't know what you don't know. And I guess that's, assuming kind of that's where the point you were at, you knew everything to your limitations at the time. And obviously James has done it in different sectors, you know, within recruitment, and kind of imparting that knowledge kind of opened your eyes. And you kind of think, actually, there's a bigger world out there, an opportunity.
Yeah. It just makes you think differently. I was set in my ways, like I said, and you know, you get comfortable. You focus on what you're good at. But all of a sudden, you know, you want to scale a business, and you kind of just look outside of your immediate world and you see opportunity. And I'm brave, and I'll always take on a challenge. Just unleashing myself slightly in that sense changed the outlook of the business.
And absolutely, and it's like you said, it's not an overnight process. It's something that you do in time with a plan, with a bit of support and kind of confidence behind you.
Yeah, I think one of the questions you asked there was, you know, how was it in that process? I think I had opportunities to go to a bank and take a loan out. You know, I had various other chats with competitors who in a sense were very interested in potentially taking me out of the marketplace and going to work internally in their businesses. And it was the opportunity to work with experts in the recruitment field that could take my career to the next level. And I remember my father said to me when I was asking him what he would do, he said to me, this is going to be an opportunity for you to almost do an MBA in business. You know, you might not be doing an MBA with a certificate, but you're going to be working with some serious players, and you're going to learn a lot more than anybody else that you know from university will learn. And I was like, done.
So, and I think that's a really valid point. I think, to your exact words, you can go to a bank and get a loan out and build your business. But, you know, like you said earlier, you know, like most people when they start a business, you know, they stay in their safe lane, they're building it and it's going well. They think, well, why would I divert from that? And I think from a recruitment entrepreneur's point of view, I think 85% of the partners that have come to us have been for the coaching and mentoring.
Yep, 100%. You know, 100%. I mean, my business was successful, even though it was a one-man band. You know, it was a lifestyle business. You know, we had you know, good client base, a loyal client base. We were making a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, I never joined RE because I needed to get money or whatever the case might be. It was purely that expertise, that know-how, that knowledge. You know, just self-development as well as business development in a sense.
Absolutely. And on that point of business development, you started off, you know, GKR London was the vision. You came over from South Africa alone, built that business up. You've built up a huge brand now. You're kind of one of the leading property recruitment experts in the UK, but not just that now. You place globally, you work with global clients. How's that been, that transition? And was it a conscious strategic one? You know, you mentioned the points of kind of working with James, having, you know, the 5-year plan and going into sort of like different niches within the property sector. Looking back now, you're there effectively. You're placing in how many countries now globally?
Successfully completed 7 different searches in 7 different countries. We've got about 10, 13 other searches going on internationally at the moment. We've got searches going on in Hong Kong, something happening in Singapore. I've just completed 3 placements in Bermuda. You know, Sam and my team placed somebody in Luxembourg. So, you know, if I had to look back 5 years ago, I'd have to pinch myself for where we've kind of gone as a business internationally. I think, was it strategic? I think it was strategic, but it was strategic after COVID. So I think we were very, again, I've mentioned the word stuck in our ways a couple of times, you know, and we were, you know, it was comfortable, it was great. The pandemic hit us in 2020, and I think people had to reshape their businesses. And we had to reshape our business. And we had to go and seek, follow the money, as some of the guys on my team were talking about. And I think as the pandemic was kind of coming to an end in say the Far East or in Europe, the UK was probably 3-4 weeks behind. And all of a sudden we were seeing clients of ours hiring in places like Hong Kong or Dubai. We then took on some opportunities in these countries to kind of keep the business going in a sense. we successfully filled these roles, and that gave us the confidence to do it. So I think we've now placed, in the last 18 months, we've placed over 30 candidates on the continent, which is like, for us, it's unbelievable.
And I guess, you know, the plan for 2023 then is kind of to expand on that.
Absolutely. I mean, we're hiring people now to come and work with us in the international desk, across the architecture and design side of things, but also the real estate finance desk. So, you know, we've placed people into Luxembourg, Berlin, on the finance side, Helsinki as well. Mm. And these are just investment directors, asset managers within that space. And we believe, and we've set ourselves the objective of doubling the level of placements we've made to date in 2023.
Big targets for next year.
Big targets.
And I think to your point, you know, when you mentioned COVID, obviously everyone, you know, the whole world obviously came to a halt, but property was kind of the first, you know, estate agency, the property market. Yep. It stopped, and you know, you touched on the financial crisis back in 2008. Time-wise, obviously, you've been through some really tough times.
Yep.
If you're on your own and you'd gone through that period of time, what do you think would have happened?
I think it would have been okay because of the you know, costs to company. You know, it would have just been me, and I would have looked after myself in a sense. Yeah. But you know, but I want more than that. You know, you want different challenges, and I think working very closely with Greg and Albert and James and the wider portfolio, and having the blessing of having an incredible team at GKR, we stuck together. We stuck together and we fought through it. And it was tough. I mean, I think we went from, you know, having over 200 positions as a business in March 2020 to having 7 jobs in April 2020. Mm. And you sit there and, you know, you're like a rabbit in headlights. Like, what do you do? Yeah. It was pure shock.
Yeah.
And I think we stuck together. I think I would have got through it on my own in a sense, but the challenges of having a team of, you know, 19, 20 people was far different in the pandemic.
So what's your headcount now?
21 people.
21 people.
And that includes the support function as well.
Yeah. So 21 people. So your scale effectively, you know, not just in terms of jobs, but in terms of headcount, you know, particularly this year, has been pretty exponential.
It's been amazing, yeah.
So scaling has been, you know, a lot of companies, you know, we were talking to James Carn the other day, saying a lot of companies start up, scale up and exit in about 17 to 20 years.
Yep.
If you just look at GKR as an independent, isolated company, what you've done in the last 3 years, it has been an incredible success story.
Yeah, it's been great, and we've you know, we're blessed to have some very good people in the business. You know, if I look at Michael Woda in the business, Lee and Anu and Molly, I mean, these are pillars of the business that have been with us since 2014, 2015.
Wow.
You know, obviously Michael Beacon coming into the business when we acquired Beacon Reeves in 2021, that was a game changer for us because it cemented our international presence. Because Mike is placing across Europe, Hong Kong, Singapore, Shanghai, it's taken the business to a next level. So I think we're very blessed to have some very good people in the team. I think our average longevity in the company is probably 4-5 years.
Wow.
You know, time in the business. Once that people get past their first year, they tend to stay with us a long time, which is great.
And that's, to build a business, you obviously need to scale, you need good talent, you need to invest in those people, which I know that's something you've done quite heavily this year.
Training and development is massive for us. I think through the group, you know, we've obviously utilized the resource that the group brings us, you know, the Future Leaders course.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just about me being, you know, top of the business or Michael or Lee or Michael Beacon. We want to develop the next level of managers. And, you know, the guys are very fortunate to have gone to Edinburgh recently, and they've gone through a very intensive 4-day training course on how to manage a business, you know, from the finance piece all the way through to marketing and talent attraction. So we invest heavily in talent attraction, but we also invest heavily in developing their talent.
To stay.
To stay and build and do what they want from their career and get the best out of it.
So in the last 3 years, you've built a business, you're investing in your team, you're at 21 heads. You've expanded your niche, which was, you know, like you said, part of this kind of strategy anyway, you know, not specifically on a kind of time plan.
Yep.
So you're now, you know, you're still very much niche, and you have specialists in those areas that do all of that. And you've now gone global. What would be your advice to somebody kind of looking to start up? And, you know, obviously you had, you know, the vision and the dream to come to the UK to build up your own property recruitment company. When you talk about scalability, you know, it is a bit of a pipe dream. It's like, hang on a minute, I need to start a business. It could be quite daunting because suddenly it's like you've got to be doing the talent, you've got to be future leaders and all of that. What would be your advice to somebody, whether they've just started a recruitment business or looking to do it with scalability in mind?
I think people need to take their time in what they're doing. I think they need to be patient. I think if I look at maybe regrets that I've had, was when I came to England, you know, I gave up a lot in South Africa, you know, as a lot of you guys know. I love fishing and I love outdoors and I love sport, and I gave up a lot of that to come to the UK.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I had expectations that it was going to be easy. It was going to be a walk in the park. And I came out of the blocks very, very quickly, expecting everything to be a bed of roses, but it's not. And that's because I wasn't necessarily thinking through some of the things I was doing. You know, my advice to everybody who's starting a business or wants to scale a business is plan. You know, plan for failure, plan for success, put time into it, you know, speak to people, get mentors around you. You need to have mentors around you. For me, that was a game changer.
Yeah.
Was having a board of directors. I went from just myself to having James Kahn, Arbit and Greg.
Yeah, overnight.
It was overnight. It was just someone turned the lights on and all of a sudden there was four of us in a room rather than one.
Yeah.
And that just unleashed me to being what I'm good at.
Yeah.
And that's being a people person and just doing what I thrive in. So I think people should take their time, but they should find a mentor. And I think that's where I struggled in the first 4 years of my GKR journey, in a sense. Yeah.
And you've built this huge brand now. I mean, you look at your Google reviews, you've got over 300.
I think it's 301 now.
301?
301, yeah.
That one counts.
Yeah, everyone counts.
But it's funny because we actually knew each other a long time ago because you placed me in my first role back a couple of years ago.
Back in the days, yeah?
Yeah, back in the days. And then here we are together, you know, and the success story is fantastic to see that growth. And to your point, I think that you made earlier was people knew me personally. And I don't think that's just from a client point of view. I mean, we always stayed in touch on LinkedIn over the years, you know, whether it was that once a year touch in, you know, it wasn't sales pitch, it was how are you doing, how's life, you know, see you at this company, blah, blah, blah. And you've always been that person. And obviously the brand initially was obviously Grant, it was you, it was the person persona, you know, and I think you touched on social media beforehand and you were probably bigger to your friends than you actually were. And I guess in this day and age, especially from a marketing and branding point of view, it's quite easy to do that with quite a basic plan.
Yeah.
I can't remember the stats, something like 17,000 recruitment agencies, I think it was, this year. And everyone's kind of doing the same thing. To stand out like you've done, that's no mean feat. It's quite hard work. And, you know, even looking at the Google reviews, looking at your website and the brand and the client list that you've got, to your point, you know, looking back, even, you know, the year before COVID, even if it was all going well and ignoring a pandemic, would you have put yourself where you are today, you know, if you took COVID out of that?
You know, probably not, no. I mean, you've got to pinch yourself sometimes. And, you know, I did a lot of reflection recently on a trip to South Africa and just sat back then looking at the same view that I was looking at 12 years ago and thinking, 12 years on, there's a lot to be proud of, you know. And I think, you know, you talk about the Google reviews, it is a people business what we do. And I don't want to take away the limelight from Lee and Rose and my team, but these guys are ambassadors for our Google reviews. And you need drivers in the business who absolutely believe in what they do, believe in what the business does, and you are changing people's lives. You know, don't get me wrong, it's not all, you know, fun and games at times. You know, we get let down by a lot of people as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are proud of the service we deliver. You know, we may not place every candidate. Mm. I mean, two very good success stories of mine are, I didn't place two candidates 7-8 years ago, and they are now managing directors in businesses that are now using me for recruitment. Mm. But they remembered the journey they had with us in 2015, 2016. And I think it's that type of service we try and deliver to people where we're memorable. And we're there, you know, people want to deal with us.
And it's like the phrase, isn't it? The harder I work. Isn't it funny? The harder I work, the luckier I get.
Yep.
And I think GKR is probably built on, you know, a great team. If you look at the people you've had, I think like the average tenure you said, you know, 4 to 5 years investing in that.
I think a lot of people give us credit for that because that's not normal in what we do.
Yeah.
It's not normal in recruitment. And I think, you know, when you reach 20 heads, you're not really a family business anymore, but we do have a family feeling as a business. Yeah. And the camaraderie, we've got a good team and I love the guys.
And I think it's a really valid point to keep that, whether, you know, 5 heads all sitting, you know, back in the day, all sitting in an office, obviously now hybrid working, you know, you're London based, building that culture and keeping that culture. We talk about it a lot internally. And I think, you know, like to your point, when you get to 20 heads is, you know, how do you maintain that? Your role as CEO 5 years ago when you were kind of 8, 9, 10 heads to today, when you're over 20, and I think, you know, your headcount plan and growth for next year will be to add to that, is in maintaining that and building on that.
We want to develop the talent next year. You know, our plan is to probably grow to 30, 35 heads over the next kind of 18 months, but we want to hire the right people.
Yeah.
And then we want to do it organically. So it's not about, you know, hiring for the sake of hiring. We want to hire the right people that can complement the team that we've currently got.
So where do you see GKR then in the next 3 years? how the last 3 years has been, you know, like I said before, exponential, you know, in the last three, 4 years for you in GKR. That's only going to continue with as you go global and work with more international clients and candidates. Where do you think you'll be by 2025?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting question. I wish I had the crystal ball, but our objective is to have two additional offices, both based internationally. One of my dreams is always to have an office based back in Cape Town.
Yep.
So I've had these chats with James. I've had these chats with Arbit and Greg, and it's very much on the cards. Purely because I have a very good network there as well. Yeah. But you know, you can hire people in Cape Town to do UK recruitment.
Same time frame as well.
Same time. Well, it's 1 hour time difference. Yep. So that's one of the plans, and we potentially want to have an office in the US. We haven't quite figured that out yet, but you know, our international growth of the business is probably our biggest focus for the next 3 years. Mm. You know, it's changed the whole outlook of GKR. I mean, we're talking about going GKR international. We're redesigning websites. There's so much going on. And we need to follow that by having international kind of boots on the ground as well.
So with partnering with Recruitment Entrepreneur, do you think that's allowed kind of that headspace in your head? Because obviously before you were doing everything and anything and building the business. Yeah. Do you think that's allowed then, you know, obviously a bit more flexibility, a bit more kind of creativity, kind of where the business can grow, like on the points you've just mentioned?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, if you're doing it all on your own, which I was, you don't have the time. You don't have the time to think about billing, handling dramas that we get in recruitment from candidates or clients or whatever the case might be, whilst trying to grow your business, open an office, look at an office space, signing terms of business, dealing with an HR matter. You just don't have the resource. And I think, you know, I've watched Recruitment Entrepreneur evolve over the last few years, and it's been, you know, an absolute honor to be a part of that journey, because I've been able to rely on the legal team. I've been able to rely on Daisy in the HR and operations perspective. It's been unbelievable. And that allows you as a recruiter, and the majority of us as recruiters are people's people.
Yep.
We want to be out, we want to be doing deals, we want to be entertaining, and it allows you to do what you're good at by having the resource and the infrastructure behind you to take things to the next level. I mean, I was never thinking like this 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And now thinking about opening an office in Cape Town or opening an office in New York, which is, it's going to happen. Mm. It's just a matter of time. Didn't even come into my brain at the time.
So with the market obviously ending Q4, it's kind of, you know, I think the terminology being bound around it is, you know, there's a softening in the market. That doesn't, it's still busy.
Yep.
You know, obviously speaking to the likes of yourself, you know, there's still a lot on the table going on.
Yep.
If you were starting a business in 2023, there's obviously a lot of external factors at play. You know, what would your advice today be to start a business or to grow it?
Relationships. I mean, we learned a lot during COVID where, you know, if you're just chasing the deal, if you're just chasing the revenue, you are going to find yourself coming up short. I think during COVID, we had some amazing relationships already, but what we were able to do was cement those relationships even more by just calling people and asking them how they were. You know, how's the kids? How's the family? How's your brother? Like, it could have been the most innocent of conversations, and that non-salesy environment, chasing money all the time, helped us kind of evolve as a business. And our kind of footprint became more about human beings. You know, why are we in this together, client, candidate, recruiter? And I think the market, it has softened. You know, we've seen it soften, but you're only as good as the relationships you have with clients. And my advice to anyone would be, you know, go to the people you know best straight away, and you know, be there for them. Be there for them as a friend, as a mentor, whatever you need to do.
And I think that's probably a theme of GKR in terms of your staff.
Yep.
You know, the same relationship happens, hence why your tenure is so high for you know, like you said, on average for the recruitment business.
Listen to people. People love to, you know, speak to people. You know, and I think it's often kind of something that's not really like understood. You know, people don't want to bother people by asking them how they are, or they don't want to be asked that same question. But actually deep down, people like to talk about themselves, you know, and by being a shoulder to cry on or asking someone how they are, I think has a much bigger impact in your relationship with that person than you might think. And I think it's helped us grow as a business over the last 3 years. It's not just been about revenue, it's been about human nature, trying to make a difference.
And that's definitely helped. If you look at the brand, what you've achieved in the last 3 to 4 years, and I think in the next 3 to 4 years, you've got a lot going on, huge headcount, huge international growth, and super excited to see where you're at.
That's the plan. That is the plan.
Great. Thanks very much, Grant.
Thanks for having me, Tom.